Welcome to Karate Cafe, your source for martial arts conversation since 2005. And now, here's your hosts, Paul Wilson and Dan Williams.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Karate Cafe. We have another episode coming up for you. All kinds of delicious conversation. Hopefully your cups are full, but you want to empty them and then fill them back up.
Working on it right now.
And off to just off my center line, we have Paul here from, we were just discussing, you're not White Rock anymore, right?
I will always be White Rock. We, yes. In the green room, we were talking about never name your school after a color or an animal.
Right.
And I broke that rule like right out of the gate. But I would actually name mine after a place. So it's not a person, place, a thing. It's a place, both in my heart and, you know, geographically. So that's or regionally, I guess.
I don't know. We were talking about it earlier that I think the name of a school is sort of an interesting thing, right? Because I don't know. I guess I was thinking of the color or animal kind of thing. And for, you don't really care what people from other martial arts or more experienced people or any of that think. Like if you're the yellow dragon kung fu and experienced martial artists go, oh boy, yellow, whatever, you know, if it gets you customers.
Yeah, well, but
I don't know.
We should be going after students, not customers. But there's don't get me started. We can't start a tangent. We just started. Right. We can't tangent on.
We haven't. We can't start a tangent because we haven't started yet.
Right.
Right.
We're literally not at the fork of the road. So
true.
You know, like a lot of that is like, you know, gotta sound mystical. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, but yeah. So that's Dan was making fun of me in the green room, everybody. So because he's in the metaphorical green room.
Yes.
In Michigan, and I'm not. So he can
that's right.
Mess with me like that.
Well, yes. So this is Paul Wilson, everyone.
That's right.
From not
just
from White Rock.
Yes.
Or
right.
From White Rock.
I'm although not sure. there is a White Rock in BC. And we should move there, and just so I can open up the dojo and be like official. But
you should find a White Rock and then carry it with you at all times.
Always. Well, that's my heart is full of it. Yeah, that's, I was trying for a while to do a logo, right? And and I was trying to figure out a way to like, you know, like a crane on a rock. I was like, well, how do you do? Or anyway, it was a whole thing. So
just ask AI now.
And you'll get like, you know, a crane with three heads. But for clarity, for those of you who don't know and haven't been following the podcast, and why haven't, my dojo is White Rock Kenshin Khan because it was started in Dallas next to White Rock Lake. Because we're usually wherever when I start a class, I start a free class at a park. And in that case, it was by the lake. So, and then I just stuck with it. You know, once you start, you make all the cards made and whatnot. It's kind of portable. You know, so anyway, there's all that. But
so Paul asked me to do the intro today and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. the human tangent, like immediately, not like, hi, hello, we had a good show. It's hi, hello. Hey, good luck. That's okay. But hey, we did have a really good show we wanted to address, we had some pretty good comments on Old Man's War. Apology again to John Scalzi. The thrust of it, and for those of you on the Facebook page that haven't been commenting, all these comments are on YouTube, or the ones that we're kind of go over real quick. I just lost my train of thought. What was I going to say?
Comments, YouTube, Facebook.
Oh, I don't know. That's I gave myself my own tangent.
You were trying to tangent, but you didn't quite make the turn.
I made a self tangent. anyway, these are, I'm not going to read all of them, but I like it because there's comments, and you know this is where the conversation starts. So, including the original poster commented back. That one's pretty lengthy. I'm not going to read that one, but you know, thanks for getting getting back to me on that action. I've got a guy here, I guess I assume it's Enderby Karate or it's Ender's Game, Enderby Karate. I don't know. They agreed, yeah, every class is a test. They were said I was turned down for a Don test back in the day because I was unable to fight full on. I just recovered from a blown hip joint due to an old car accident. I don't know if that was an old car accident or an accident in an old car. Anyway, so I was walking on a cane. I could do step sparring, kata bunkai. I just didn't want to risk contact kumite so I could go to work the next day. And my instructor said, no, no kumite, no testing. He also commented that adaptability as an instructor is a huge measure of a good school. Being able to share your knowledge and give others skills, no matter what level or ability, is the greatest reward to me, him. Yeah, that's, I think that's something we touched on and something I absolutely agree with, And we even talked about it in the show about like, well, if the criteria is you have to do this in order to get your black belt, if you can no longer do that after black belt, should you lose that black belt? Because I mean, it's like which came first and is that important? If it wasn't that important to continue to be able to do, then it shouldn't be so important to prevent you from doing it.
And that's a that particular situation. Oof. That particular situation is interesting because they have not permanently lost their ability. And so to me, I guess if I were that instructor, I would have delayed as well. I would have said, nope, we're gonna delay. Because I know that you can do it. You just can't do it right now. And so yes, let's delay it. Let's wait until you can. I mean, usually from black belt to whatever your system is before black belt is a long time anyway, right? It's usually like a year at least, something like that. So to wait another few months, I mean, I guess if your black belt tests are only once a year, then yeah, that's kind of a bummer. But I don't know. I would have a tendency to wait. If his condition were more permanent, that would maybe be a more interesting question, right? Is to say, oh, I trained with this guy for years and know what his skills were like right before his test. And so now he's never going to get his black belt because he can't pass the test.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's for me, I'm still very much the, if like say, the week before or 2 weeks before he was in class and just sparring their tuchus off and just decimating. It was like a John Wick movie, and then the week before or the test, they sprain their ankle and they're like, oh, I can't. And they're like, okay, well, sorry. It's like,
Yeah, I
come
guess
on.
from, yeah.
But as an instructor, so like you said, being an adaptable instructor is I would, for me, and this is only for me, is I would then go like, okay, you can't do that. You can, I probably would do two things. I'd go like, do you want to just wait? Yeah, give it 4 months and we'll test, we'll give you a special test or whatever. And if not to get too bogged down in the process. Or two, I would go like, okay, what can I let me come up with some ways for him to prove that proficiency without having to do it. Like, you don't have to do the 100-man sparring. It's like, okay, but what can you do that, and sparring is kind of that whole gross motor skill kind of thing like that. Like, watch somebody, a couple other people testing spar and then explain what they did wrong or what could have been done better, something like that, just to show that they have the ability, because especially in my head, the ability to spar ex and it for 2 or 3 minute rounds or whatever you want to set it up isn't a legit demonstration of martial efficacy. It just means you have really good cardio and you can spar. I mean, you're knocking people out left, right, and center, okay, cool. But still, you're not supposed to be fighting, unless it's a fighting, unless you're boxing or something. Anyway, that's kind of my
So
point of
that's
view.
a that's one of those, and I think there are, from our topic last time, I think there are a lot of edge cases
Oh
that
yeah,
do get
absolutely.
into like Yeah, that's a really kind of tough situation for both the student and the instructor to be in. Because, like I say, if you broke your foot right before a test, you can't do anything then, right? Like you can't do form, you can't do kata, you can't do bunkai, you can't spar, you can't do anything. And then obviously, even though the instructor may know that you genuinely have all these skills because you probably even went through a pretest, maybe even a couple, you've been training for it for a long time, they know you can do this. Yet I would say you can't test at that point because, like, if you got a broken
You are a
foot
harsh taskmaster.
and you just genuinely can't do any of it, then I would have a hard time. Now, if I want to do something as an instructor, like give an honorary belt or something like that, or to say, I know that you have these skills, but I don't know if I would go through the official test route. I don't know. Like I say, it gets into a really messy, kind of sticky question, you know?
It's the once again, it's the whole like this is what we said time and time again is like there's a ton of nuance to martial arts, and that really blows the one size fits all, which actually works out really well for our topic today,
Yes.
because this is
I was just
literally
looking at that. Yeah.
what they're talking about. So
Yep.
Dan, once you read this, this is I was messing around on the MySpace or whatever, and I found this post. I think this is from a Krav Maga instructor. And Dan, can once you read the
Yeah, this just takes just like a minute to read. It's a couple of paragraphs. So,
well, wait.
okay, so here we go. Let me get my glasses on. All right. Here's an instructor's dilemma. I'm about to teach a defense against a very brutal form of attack. The muscular male student in this picture is very experienced and well trained, and I am confident that he will be quite adept at executing the newly introduced defense, right? So this is a male student, bigger dude. Krav is very reality based. So, obviously the scenario is somebody's going to go after the students, like either at 100% or 90%, but close to it, right? The other student, a much smaller female, is also exceptional and is equal in rank, skills, and time spent in training to her male counterpart and has absolutely no fear of engaging, right? Might not be the best thing in the world. My dilemma is that the attacker in this training scenario, not pictured here, is twice her body weight and stands 6'3" and is also very muscular. And I am fearful that she may get injured as it involves fast, realistic, and heavy front tackle to the mid body. I am reluctant to teach it one way to him and another way to her, taking these physical concerns into consideration, as the technique response in question is curriculum centered, designed for everyone. My reluctance is not gender based. A much smaller male would give me these same concerns, right? Definitely not gender based. It is obvious that in the different size, strength, and height, the physics of the participants, if you will, is what troubles me. Thoughts.
Oh, yes.
So I got thoughts. Do you have thoughts?
Have thoughts, but you go.
Okay. So I think it's really obvious, right? Like it's painfully obvious that this is a strange question to ask. And the reason I say it's a strange question to ask is one of the things he says in here is that the technique is curriculum centered and designed for everyone. Is it though? Right? Is it though?
Right. It's
And
like that just.
I think too that there is, there's this perception in the martial arts, and depending on like who you talk to, Oh, it's all about technique. Size doesn't matter because I will be able to counter their body weight with my body weight and move around to the side, and then they will simply pass by me like a ghost in the wind, right? And I don't agree with that. I think that we have weight classes in, boxing, MMA, wrestling. We have weight classes for a reason, right? It's because, and I think I saw one of the Gracies talking about this. They say every 10 pounds adds a belt rank, essentially, right? So you have to realize that a 100-pound woman, let's just extreme example to make a point, 100-pound woman who has four black belts in five different styles, whatever, however you do that, versus a 6'3", 250 pounder is going to have a hard time, right? I think there's very
It's like Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher and Alan Rich's Jack
That's
Reacher.
right. That's
It's like
right. There's a bit of gap there, right?
They're the same thing. They're not the same thing. I mean, it really is, it's a physics experiment, at that point. Because and the reason why I started, and I didn't just send it to Dan, I sent it to a couple other martial friends of mine to go like, what do you think? And that's why I wanted to go ahead and talk to you, the fine folks and Karate Caffeinators. Because and because it speaks to our last episode, right? If it's curriculum centered, it's like, well, then what's there's the breakdown of the curriculum, right? Because it's not for everybody, like you're pointing out. It's for everybody in that sort of realm. And like for me, I'm always been, I've said it before, I've said it again, I'll say it forever. It's like I'm way more concerned about the concept and understanding the concept than that application. Because that's sort of a scenario. It's like you get tackled by a, so it's like, well, okay, then if that's the rub point for him, it's like, why do it against somebody who's 6'3 and 250? Why don't you do somebody that's more size appropriate
And that's
and
what I
have
was
them
just, yeah,
kind of
I was.
work and like, okay, they can demonstrate the technique and they can do the thing. All right, now here's what happens when somebody bigger is trying. But it's like for me, and I think we were talking about it earlier, was I think it's not it's less the application of the technique afterwards. It's more the introduction to the scenario, being tackled by somebody huge, which I mean, arguably, probably you will be tackled by somebody huge or larger than you.
And I think, I will correct one of the things where it says it's designed for everyone. And it could very well be designed for everyone, but maybe not every situation, right? So this, and as you said, maybe what's more appropriate is to do this where you don't have such a drastic size difference, right? Maybe the technique won't accommodate such a large size differentiation, right? And in fact, I don't know what you guys do, but in most of my schools, when we do a high punch, right, we do it to the level of our own head. That doesn't mean the opponent is always going to be at the level of our own head, right? It's just kind of like you have to pick something.
Pick a target.
Pick a target. So I think that in this case, if this big guy is the only guy that you have to, and he says a very brutal form of attack, then I just don't think it's appropriate. I think what you could do is if you wanted to make sure that she knew how to execute the technique so that she could teach it to others, you could lower the brutality level, right? Maybe do it a little bit slower. But if you got a, I mean, honestly, if you have a 6'3" guy and let's say a 5'5" woman, and he's coming in doing a tackle, if he's tackling her, he just tackles her and lays on top of her. And
Yeah.
that's kind of it, you know? So I don't know. And if especially, I don't know, is he coming at full speed?
Well,
Is he getting a good run up going? Like,
that's what it says. It's a fast, realistic, and heavy front tackle to the mid body. Now, I mean, again, we don't know what the scenario is. So, I mean, realistic instead, like
but like I say, and
it's.
here's the other thing. Is it on concrete? Like how realistic are we getting here?
Right,
Because
exactly.
if you say, well, it's not really real unless we do it on concrete, because that's what would happen. So it has to be really real. I think in every situation, we have to understand that we are always compromising to reality.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're gonna hurt ourselves. I mean, unless you're a backyard brawler, then you're always compromising to reality. And even most of those guys won't bite or groin or any of that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think in saying we need to compromise to reality, I think this Krav instructor just needs to compromise to reality and go, look, I don't want her hurt, especially not permanently. And therefore,
Especially if she's close to renewing her contract. I mean,
right, a tackle, if there's a slam after that tackle,
yeah.
I would not, I'd be like, no, I'm out, dude. Like, no
Yeah.
way.
See,
Good.
yeah. So for me, that's that, because that's what we actually was just talking. Got an email from someone that was wanting self-defense lessons. And so I was talking to them about how they approach it, because they said they'd been abused. They were in an abusive relationship.
Okay.
And I said, that's one of the things that I approach in from a self-defense standpoint, and also from a just a regular martial arts standpoint, is the what you're going to do after you get hit. We talked about this, the fighting the freeze, right? A little while ago, is that so if someone tackles you, what technique are you doing? Because this also comes back to like, okay. It's really easy to defend what you know is coming. Well, whoever's attacking this person in this scenario, or in class and stuff like that, knows what you're going to do, right? Because from what I'm getting from this email, it's like this is some technique. Someone tackles you, and you have to do this. So there's like a prescribed script that goes on. Now, someone tackles you. Yeah, are you on concrete? Are you going to land on furniture? Are you going to land on another person? Are you going to land,
Go
whatever?
through a glass table.
Yeah, da 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 da. I mean, when they tackle you, do they know anything? So they're tackling you because why? They're shooting in on you, or they're, what you,
Right.
they're just some drunk that's tackling you, trying, it's like it's there's so many variables and stuff that goes on. So like from that standpoint, what I would do if for some reason I had that going on and I was concerned, I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna take that and kind of make that parenthetical. It's like, okay, someone's gonna attack you. And someone's going to tackle you. So this class, we're going to do tackles.
Right.
And everyone put on some headgear and whatever, whatever you need to do to kind of, and then start small and work your way up until you, as a smaller person, get tackled by a larger person, and you're used to what that feels like within the context of training, right? And then
Yes.
the next class, you go like, okay. Or, whenever. Like, okay, now we're going to do this technique. Okay, now we're putting them together because, I'm a big proponent of not having like A, B, C, D, right? This happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. There's too many things that go wrong out in the cul-de-sac to be able to guarantee. Now, it's good to have built in, but you need to be adjustable. So, if she's attacked by someone her size, slightly larger or whatever, something like that, she's going to do this technique. If she gets hit by someone twice her size and twice her weight, again, that's a physics experiment. And so so all you can do is kind of hope you recover for whatever that is, and then you apply whatever the technique is. And now that technique might not be the technique you did on the smaller person because they're bigger.
And I guess, in you saying that, what it makes me think of is to maybe separate the concerns in training. Like, what exactly are you training for? Because if you're training for the aggressive nature of real violence, then you can train for that and don't need to necessarily worry about training a particular technique. You can train a particular technique without worrying about the fact that it you feel like it needs to be done at 100%. Because, like I say, I don't know, just a 5'5" woman against a 6'5" guy. I don't know of any technique that's really going to work, right? If you're going 100% resistance,
And a trained 6'5" guy.
joint locks, not so great. I don't know. Maybe you can break a finger. If the guy's drunk, he's not going to feel it. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that don't work in particular given situations. And I guess ultimately, what I would tell it if I had a coaching moment before this happened in real life and was able to whisper in the woman's ear and go, just kick him in the balls, right? Like, because whatever technique you're planning on using probably isn't going to work. Because if he's tackling you and you're trying to box his ears or hit him in the back or, get him in a choke around the neck or whatever it is you're trying to do, you're in a very bad situation. And I think that it illustrates the point that in a self-defense situation, some people have it worse than others, right? Like, it's gonna be harder for you. It kind of goes back to I'm sure you've seen this in seminars, the what if guy, right? Okay, here's the technique I'm teaching. Well, what if he does this? Well, I mean, you have this option available. You could do this. Yeah, but then if you do that, what if he does this thing? And it's just like, okay,
You
I'm not
never
going
know.
to teach you all of that stuff right now. I'm teaching you a particular technique. So yeah,
I
I
had
would
a
say,
buddy who was the what if guy. He trained in Shuai Chow and Chinese wrestling. He came to class one day, and we were I don't know what we were working on. We were working on some stuff, and then he kind of came back on the right. He didn't really have his own place to train or anything. So I was like, yeah, come just drop in where you want. So he would come in and like we were doing, I think, groundwork or not ground 2EDO. Anyway, and yeah, he became the what if guy. We were always like, oh, what if guys coming tonight. And one time I just because it was slowing down class, like we were doing whatever, and we were constantly trying, and I told him, I was like, dude, every castle has a door. Okay. There's no He's like, you can't plan for everything. You can't plan for every opportunity. You can't. I know there's keyboard guys. Yes, you can. You totally can. I think I did. I think I posted somewhere. Can't remember if it was on one of our forums or somewhere else. And I said, like, not everyone can cover everything. And they were like, we do every class. We do like 15 minutes of stand up. We do 15 minutes of ground. We do 15 minutes of kicks. We do 15 minutes. Like it was clearly like an MMA sort of thing like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, within the context of your world, yes, but I'm saying, like you can't practice everything all the time, so, that's one of those depth versus breadth sort of
And I'm sorry, but
arguments.
even like boxers, I mean, you could say, yeah, I have a jab and punch, but I think it's insulting to boxing to say that that's all they do every day is just jab and punch. Like, there's a
Slips body weight.
lot there's and dropping guard and counter punching and all kinds of stuff, but yeah, so I think that w what I would think is important in this situation is if it I would want to make sure that I know that she knows the technique, because if she's helping someone else out, or it is a part of the curriculum, obviously, that she needs to know the technique. Does she need to
But
know how to
is the
do it
curriculum, yeah, versus
under
that.
maximum pressure,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, that's an episode that's coming up.
Yeah, because that would be like that would be like me. I don't know how big this woman is, but imagine she's like 5'5", right? That'd be like me going up against somebody that's 7'10" and 350 pounds. It's just like, I'm gonna be like, I give up. Like,
Well,
white
I mean,
flag already.
it's because again, so for context, I'm going to put the post up so people can see the those of you guys watching on YouTube, and those people who are still listening on the show. I was watching like we still have this is tangent or subtangent. Anyway, I was looking at the statistics for the last couple of shows, and we still have far more people listening than watching on YouTube. So you
Really?
know, yeah.
Oh,
So
wow. Okay.
it's, I mean,
I didn't know
okay,
people
cool, because.
did podcasts anymore after
That's
YouTube
right.
came around. Like,
They still tune it in. Yeah, they do.
yeah.
Yeah, apparently. And Andrew Adams, our friend from Whistlekick, he messaged up and said the Apple Podcast thing is broke, and I'm still working on that. Or sorry, the tech team is
Okay.
still working on that, trying to figure it out. But other than that, you know, Apple, like that's going to last. Most people are listening. Rather than watching, but I like them watching because that one they get to see the nice dojo we have here at the nice
Right.
Spotify studio. But you know the kind of the thing is like you know yeah it's like you do the technique you know because is the technique important or is the entrance important? Because like you know you could go like all right well, what if you get hit by a car you know and then are you gonna then grapple the car? Like
Right.
no they like this
I'm gonna break
it's
fall across its hood.
Yeah, it's a huge one. Well, not me. I'm going to jump over and flying sidekick through the window.
Like
Whatever,
that one.
bro. But you know, there's like you know, the sorry, excuse me, the kinetics of someone that big hitting someone that small. It's like they may just bounce and fly off.
Right. He
You
says,
know, but it.
like you said, it's a physics problem more than
All
anything
right.
else.
But if someone is, it's so it's kind of that realm of like the scenario of like. How likely is someone that big to tackle someone that small?
Well, and here it's, you know, I talked about separating the lessons, and I think that what a lot of the reality-based self-defense do, and it's what you were referring to earlier, is you want to train them for that moment of panic, right? You want to train them out of that moment of panic. And so I think that if you have a 6 foot 3 guy going after a 5 foot 5 woman, that's not a bad thing, right? That in itself is not a problem. Like, you can train for that. You can train to say, you know, you have to scramble, you have to hustle, you have to figure out how to get out of this. You have to stay in your thinking head and not in your panic head. You've got to look for exits. You've got to figure out how to solve this problem while he's trying to kick your ass, right? Like, I think that's valid training. But to put her in the box of you have to perform this explicit technique while you're doing that is probably detrimental to her learning the technique. And I don't know, like I say, if he's going full resistance, I've never seen a technique that can solve that problem. I don't know, like maybe she's gonna poke him in the eyes. Like, I don't know what's going on there, but I've never seen a technique that's going to solve that problem. So if he's definitely he's if he's for sure using every ounce of his strength to prevent her from doing what she wants to do, I have a hard time that technique's going to work out.
And I honestly, I'm because I'm just walking down the I'm trying to visualize, you know. Class day. All right. That dude over there is going to run into you full steam. And then you have to, you know, 5-point finger floating heart technique him or whatever. And like, and we're going to do that 10 times, you know, or whatever. I mean,
Right.
it's like how, you know, like, so that's what I'm saying is like, you drill that part,
Right.
you know, with whatever you need to, because like we had a, I had a student. And we were doing break falls, you know, and stuff like that. And we were doing it from different heights. And I was like, you know, you need to know what it feels like to fall, you know, like from
Yeah.
height, right?
Right. To
Yeah.
fall
Like
wrong.
someone if someone pushes
Yeah.
you,
Yeah.
and so you fall, you know, from top to bottom, boom, and flat, you know,
Right.
and you can do a break fall or whatever. And it's not fun. And we're gonna do it once. And I
Yeah.
was like, it's like
Yeah.
just so you can see what it feels like. But like, you know, the class we did, we, you know, had kind of I mean, up to there, like the first half, 3/4 of the class was like squatting down, and then like chair height, that kind of thing like that. And then, front rolls and back rolls and stuff like that. So, but this is one that's basically like, like someone comes up behind you and squats behind you and the other dude pushes you and there's nothing you can do, right? So, and everybody in the class was fine, but one of my students, she fell back and she rang her bell. I told her all the things to do, right? And she'd been doing it all class, stay loose, tongue in the roof of your mouth, relax, don't let your head go back because you're falling straight back, all stuff like that. And sure enough, she tensed up and her head was,
Just a little bit
in a line and back. And
back,
so,
yeah,
and she
bang.
just rung her bell and she got a concussion, And she was cool. She was, she understood that it happened within the context of class and stuff like that. But I ended up losing her. I mean, she came to like two more classes and she just couldn't because she was having headaches and whatever. And she eventually recovered, but it kind of took the
Well,
wind out of her sails.
yeah, and I will say there's an element to of risk to most martial arts. Most.
I can't. Oh, sideburn. That's smooth.
But like again, I think I mentioned it last time. I can't spar because I have had detached retinas in both eyes, and I can't take the risk that that's going to happen again. So
But dude,
really,
see how cool it would be if, like, hang on, I've got to fight. I got to detach my retinas.
right?
Put them in a little
Or have
case.
one
Let's
pop
go, bro.
out and just be like, I just stick this back in. It's no
That's
problem.
right.
So yeah, and that includes even things like, my friend and I do a lot of our knees together, and sometimes the stick patterns that we go through, the chance that it's going to come across and hit my head is just, it's just scary, right? And so thinking about the comment and this scenario and things like that, I think that if, for example, it was done where he comes and tackles her, and then at 30% resistance, she has to perform the technique, right? Because what's happening in that sense is that she has to clearly get into her thinking brain after she's been tackled, after she may be in some sort of panic mode, and then has to like walk through the technique and do the technique while in that mode.
So, I was just, as you're saying that, I'm looking at it again, and I don't think this guy's issue is doing the technique after. I think it's being tackled because, I mean, like rereading it, it says, like, I'm fearful that she may get injured as it involves a fast, realistic, heavy front tackle to the mid-body. Da, 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 da. I'm going to teach it one way to him and one way to as the
Yeah,
technique
and
response in question is. So it seems to be he's more concerned about, the entrance criteria, and then so like, but and see, so that's there's another
yeah,
aspect
and
is
I
like.
guess my thing is that you're going to teach everything differently to everybody, right? Like it's just people
That's
are,
podcast folk.
yeah, human beings are different from each other, and you're going to teach people differently. And I think that I think that should be a reflection of your wise consideration as opposed to you deeming someone less than someone else, right? Because to me, and I think one of the best teaching techniques I've learned over the years, this one's really stuck with me, is that have the guy. So imagine a scale from 5 to 10 of violence and commitment, right? And have the guy come at her at a 3, right? And then if she's like, I'm good for more, let's go for more. All right, ramp it up to a 5 then. And then she's
That's what I
like,
mean.
I'm good
That
for
should
a
be
little bit more. All right, ramp it up to a 6 then. And she's like, well, that was too much. Go back down to a 5,
That's
right?
what I'm saying. That should be like a whole separate class because like
Right.
there's that way you can kind of physically prepare and
Yeah.
getting good and whatever. And then that's the episode that we've got coming up, got on the board, is about resistance. And I went to a seminar, an application seminar, and the guy grabbed me. And he goes, oh, I like to resist. And he's like, oh, super tight. And I'm like,
Yeah, that's right. You're telling me about this.
yeah. And
Yeah.
he's like, you can't do the technique. So I've got bugaboos about that. We've all heard it in previous episodes, but we're going to talk about it a little more in depth in another episode. But this kind of reflects to me of our last episode of very much like my question then also is to the instructor of like, since he talks about it being curriculum centered and stuff like that, is like, and I'm saying this in the most respectful way I can, you know, like commercial martial arts that is sort of, and I mean, Krav Maga's all like to think you're all Mossad agents and, you know, whatever, commandos ready to, you know, leap out at the moment when someone takes over the hockey game and stuff like that. But the reality of it is none of that is true. And so, but it's probably, I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying there's a lot of schools that are commercial type schools that have a curriculum. Like we have a curriculum. My
Yeah.
federation, we have a curriculum, you know, of the things you need to do, right? But there's also those of us who teach stuff that's not in the curriculum. And some of the curriculum is kind of up to interpretation to the person, right? So
And
that's
some of the
like,
curriculum
hey.
is, I don't agree with this, but it's part of the curriculum, so you got to learn it.
Yeah, and I deal with that, you know. So there's
Right.
stuff that's like, I don't really like that, you know, and it may just be because I can't make it work, and so whatever. But understanding it,
Yeah.
so, but I mean, it's like if, so that's maybe the rub that I see is this, you know, maybe this is like, this is the curriculum, and it's not my curriculum. This is what is sanctioned by the International Krav Maga Association of
Right.
wherever, and in order to, and you know, they may like, we go to the seminars, and that's how they get promoted. And anyway, yada yada yada. So it is, maybe is they're trying to figure out how to get around that, you know, or
Yeah.
like, you know, do I, and it, so, and that's the point. It's like if this is, if the entrance criteria for this technique, which is part of the curriculum, the technique is part of the curriculum, but he's not saying that the tackle is part of the curriculum.
Right.
So, but I'm assuming, because otherwise, then yeah, I just throw it out. I'd go like, okay, well, no. But I
Yeah.
would do what we're talking about is like, okay, let's sneak up
Isolate.
on it,
Right.
okay, and then do the technique. So, like,
Now, if
if
it's a
you,
test, I will say if it's a test, I would say you'd need to get an appropriately sized opponent at that point. Because if it's a new technique, that's just crazy, right? You can't,
but
but if
see,
it's a
but
test,
then there'll be the people both within their orbit
yeah.
and out there on the internet that'll go like, well, if you can't do it, you shouldn't have gotten promoted, you know, which
Yeah.
again goes right back to the
Yeah.
last
Those people
episode.
are
The
dumb.
synergies. Yeah, you know, it's
Like I
it's
say, that means that for me, my opponent would need to be, 6 foot 7 and 300 pounds.
yeah.
Right. And so
And that's the only
there's,
person that would mess with you.
I mean, it's true. It is true. And
Luckily, they're all really
yes,
tall. Whew.
there is a reality for smaller people that they're going to have a harder time. And most of the world is, if you're in the lower 20 percentile, right, you're going to have a hard time with even average size people at that point. But yeah, I don't know. I think that it's we do as martial artists have to come to terms with the fact that there's a real world out there. And sometimes the techniques that we teach to all don't work for all. And they don't, not just not all people, but not all situations as well.
Right.
And
And that's the
so,
thing. Yeah, but and you need to be able to shift from whatever to whatever. So I mean, I guess one of the things I would say is like, okay, I mean, other than like breaking it up into a tackling class and then a
a technique class.
technique, you know,
Yeah.
yeah, a technique or a technique, is like, okay, we know from class A that big dude slamming into small person, this is their response. You know, okay, they can take it. And like I say, this is, you know, if it's a tackle and an envelop, well, you're there, right? You can't
Right,
escape, you can't
you
go
should be
anywhere.
able to perform the technique without the tackle part.
So then you're there. It's just that kinetics, and that's what I'm saying. That's what I said the thing about, you know, a car. You know, like if the car hits you, you know, you're probably gonna fold around it or bounce off of it,
Yeah.
whatever. But if someone is tackling you, they're tackling to hold on to you. So that is, are they tackling from the front? Are they tackling from the rear? They didn't specify in that one. So I presume they're attacking from the front. And if they're attacking from the front and they're attacking from the front, maybe you'll have a moment to gather yourself before you get hit. Getting attacked from the sides of the rear where you can't see and can't kind of
Maybe they have to
feel
have their
you.
eyes closed while they're being tackled
Right.
from the front.
That's the thing. But at that point, so that's why it's, you do the sort of conditioning to like get used to, like, if I get tackled and this person tackles me and envelops, because what I would actually prefer, like if they invite me down, is I would have them do the tackling class, right? And then I'd have them do the technique class and be like, okay, but they can't go to the same, like, the whoever learns the technique, whoever tackles them can't know the technique, so they don't know
Okay.
what they're doing and
Right.
cannot see it. Like, they're take in the secret room and we'll show
Right.
you the secret technique. Okay, now tackle. And so that way, the person who is tackling, and if they're saying, okay, resist them or counter them or whatever, because that's the other thing. It's like, is it just they tackle them and then the person does the technique and they're worried about them getting knocked out from the tackle? Well, I mean, what can you do, right? Other than train for the tackle. And that's another course that'll cost you $16.95.
Train for the tackle.
Train for the tackle. That's not going to be the name of this episode. I've got a couple different names floating around. I can't.
So yeah, I think all in all, it's the reality stuff, in my opinion, and the resistance stuff can be done incrementally, right? It doesn't have to be 100% full speed, full resistance right off the bat. You can slow walk people into it. That to me is a better way to learn the technique. If you're trying to, I think you can do that from all aspects, because if you're trying to say, I want to have them have to do it under pressure, then after they've learned the technique and they know the technique, then you can start with little pressure and go up and up and up and up and scale it up from there until they are at a point. Now, I just, like I say, I think it's unrealistic where if a small person can't make the technique work against someone 3 times their size, that they're not doing the technique right. Sometimes it's not the appropriate technique.
Right.
So, yeah,
Well,
I would slowly increment the force.
Well, and then also what I was thinking again, because as we all agree, this is a physics experiment. So if someone is 5'5", and you're going at somebody who's over a foot taller and
Yeah.
7,500 pounds more, let's say, them coming in, so you as like it'd be like me going to someone who's 5 feet tall and wee. So if I'm going to someone who's 5 feet tall and wee, I'm going to compromise myself because I can't tackle them this way. If I'm going to, am I jumping on them or am I tackling? If I'm tackling, I'm probably going to hit somewhere in the midsection, take them down, which means if they're that small, they're probably just going to go up over your shoulder, and then the technique's out the door anyway, because you're not going into a sprawl or anything at that point. So I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different nuances and stuff going on. And so in
Yeah.
order to apply that technique, you're gonna have to break it up. And you can't let one thing destroy the other. I mean, you teach the person as they are. You don't teach the person as the curriculum says, because the curriculum, one size does not fit all.
Well, and I just had to look this up real quick. The average male height in the US is 5'9". Right? So when
Above average
you're,
attacker would have to.
what's that?
It had to be an above average attacker.
I mean, and 6'3" isn't just above average. Let's see, male height.
Are you using science and math and stuff? Geek. Stand by while we fire up the UNIVAC so Dan can
Yeah.
find out and do some statistics.
Right?
Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Okay, so a 6'3" male is generally taller than 97.8% of the population. So you're inside 3% of the population for this attacker who is attacking this woman.
So
Like
it's a worst case scenario, you know, kind of.
you've set up a very much a worst case scenario. Now there's all kinds of different factors for that. Like, I don't know, maybe bigger guys are more prone to violence. I don't know. And so who knows? But the
They can't
point
find
being
shoes.
is that if, you know, if you're really interested in reality, then I think that's a pretty extreme version of it. Now, if you want to go in and say, hey, extreme versions of reality is what this is all about, then that's true too. But of course, then you better find that 7 foot, 300 pound guy so that the other guy, the 6 footers in your class can train to their maximum potential, right?
I mean, that's another good point. Is like, you know, if someone who's 6'3" is going to come at you, the like that's what I'm saying. Like the difference is, you know, a foot, and then so for them to attack you, they've got to compromise themselves to get down to you, and you know they'll have velocity on their side. So you know, it's just
Right. And I don't know, one of the tenets of the martial arts that I've studied is grab a weapon, right? So, like, again, it's all
And those
this,
guys always have their Spyderco knife and their cargo pants
right?
that they always have to wear.
Yeah, but again, it's back to this. We have to, I think, reasonably understand that we're compromising reality, right? Because if this happened in a living room and there's, I don't know, a vape pen sitting there, right? Look at that right
Not
there.
that any member of Credit Cafe Studios is
No, wouldn't do that.
reporting
You
that, yeah.
grab that as tight as you can and you jab that into any soft spot you can find, right? Like, it's those types of situations where, again, I think teaching techniques are great. It's a great and cool idea. Teaching them under pressure is great. But just you have to understand that you're teaching people, right? So I guess, you know, I said it's kind of a weird question to ask, but in reality, it's not a weird question to ask. I think that what you have to consider is, what am I teaching this person? What am I trying to teach to this person? And what's the best way to do that? Right? Because if I'm trying to teach reaction to violence, if I'm trying to teach a particular technique, then I feel like that way of doing it is trying to smash all of it together and make them perform all those things all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things I was thinking of is like, well, then, you know, what if you're teaching somebody that someone comes at you with a baseball bat? Well, is your entrance criteria, you know, like someone's going to swing at you with a baseball bat as hard as they
Are you
can,
gonna train with a real bat? Because,
and
like,
then yeah, you know, you're
yeah,
going to go up
well, you
against
can't
Billy
train
Little
with a wiffle
Slugger.
ball bat because it's not as scary then. You have to really have the fear in you. It's just like, whoa, okay.
With an aluminum, you know, and then and they're going to come and swing at you, and you've got
As
to,
hard as they can.
you know, block it or whatever is
Right.
and but that goes with everything. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, the whole idea is someone is attempting or actively applying violence to you.
Yeah, you know, the baseball bat analogy is actually a really good one because really that tackle is that woman's baseball bat. Right?
That's what I mean. So
It's
maybe that's it.
it's the exact same thing. If you're trying to teach someone defense against a baseball bat, would you ever have anyone go in full power at their head with a baseball bat just to see if they could do the technique?
You know,
That sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, you might get a wiffle ball bat and like some pads and like wham, just so you can feel it. But then you still aren't going to get,
Right, that's not real. That's not real
the
enough.
performance. That's right.
You're not going to get the true fear because it's just a wiffle ball bat and you're padded up. Like,
Take a swing, it breaks your arm, you're still standing. Okay, now what do you do?
right.
Run away,
Yeah.
run away.
And I do like stuff like I have done the training where you wear a white t-shirt and magic
Oh yeah, with the
markers
markers,
and you just get into a knife fight with somebody. Now, yeah, you're not afraid of getting cut because it's just a marker. But again, we try to kind of come all at this stuff from different directions so that we can teach it without hurting people. Because if you can't come back to training next week, then it's a real bummer.
So
So.
then, then okay, someone comes up and stabs you. And you secure the weapon so they can't stab you anymore, but it's still in you and you have to defend yourself,
You gonna train that? Should we train
right?
that?
So it's so that probably brings a another component on the thoughts on this is like, yeah, it's like, where do you draw the line
Right.
on
What's
extreme
dangerous?
or real training or whatever? Yeah, so
Yeah.
because it's like, what else happens in your school? Like, it's all based on someone attacking you and wanting to hurt you. So, if you're worried about someone being hurt in martial arts, a martial arts class, it's like that it's almost kind of like we discussed a few days ago. It's like it kind of answers itself. And to our point, if this person sees this show, I'm gonna send them a link to the show when it comes up, is, like, I don't know how senior of an instructor this person is, or how long they've been training, or how long they've been testing, teaching and stuff like
Right,
that.
that's another
But
big
that just seems
factor
to me
too.
like a whole nuance of like, well, how do I get this across? And they're asking, so that's
No, and I do
cool.
understand as well this like I don't want to offend her by saying she is unable to do the technique like someone else is. And so I am compassionate to that. At the same time, I think it is especially in Krav, especially in reality-based self-defense, reality is important. And so for her to make sure she's living in the real world, right? And say, these encounters are going to be far more dangerous for you than other people, regardless of how good you are at your techniques, right? Because size does matter. That again, that's why they have weight classes. And so
And
I don't know.
I would say I would train it much more against like a grab, carry situation,
Yeah.
sort of an abduction sort of,
And
quote
find a guy
unquote.
that's 5'10", for God's sakes.
Yeah,
Like,
and then and not do the tackle because, I don't. I mean, again, this as much as I know about it, like, I don't see someone who is a male assaulting a female, tackling them like at full speed to like knock them down because they have size and weight and surprise on their
right.
boom, take them down to do something else. They're probably going to grab them and take them elsewhere rather than being right there. So, I mean, and that again, that's a situation, right? There's a situation they're tackling you because whatever, or they're tackling you because they want to do, beat you up. I don't,
Yeah, and I think
they're in a
too,
domestic situation, maybe, but.
yeah, like we've talked about, I think there's other ways to maybe achieve the same ends. I think some of the panic training is a good thing. I think some of the meeting real violence is often very startling for even the most well-trained people, because they never really met it before. And it's sort of like when I think I've told the story on this podcast before. I remember I was very young and a green belt, I think, and we were sparring and I was helping out this white belt with their sparring. And they just started windmilling their arms at me, right? And I was like, what the hell do I do? Because the windmill technique is not a technique I had faced before.
Right.
And again, I think those things are good. It is good for somebody to put on the anti-bear armor and go after another person. It's those kind of violence preparedness drills are not terrible. And again, if, for example, this is a test, and the test is to test the technique under pressure, then just don't so go so crazy on the pressure. Like I say, find somebody find a guy that's 5'10 and 180 pounds, not like this monster of a human being. And so I think if it's just a little bit more reasonable, you take it down a couple of notches, you let the technique actually be performed, things like that. And I don't know. I think if she or anybody else gets upset the fact that, hey, this bigger person has a bigger opponent than I do, one, they're being silly. At the same time, you can say, well, I always do it based on a percentage,
Oh
right?
you can
They can't
always
be more
like that.
than 50% your height or whatever the case might be, right? Like, because that's just getting into
Because this guy on a
different.
podcast did some statistics in the middle of the show and figured
That's
out
right.
the
That's
height
right.
and
And you could
percentages.
always tell her too, like, hey, if you want to train so that you can feel more confident with somebody that is that size, we can take that to a different class, right? We can make that part of your focus, and we can make sure that that's what we study. But we're digging through this technique at this point to make sure that you learn the technique, to make sure you know it for other people, to make sure that you can pass the test, to make sure this, that, and the other thing. This is not about
And you
defeating
can
a giant person,
Right. And you could, I mean, depending on how many people in the class, you can, all right, do it at 20%, a couple of times. All right, everybody
I'm
rotate
assuming this 6'3"
20%.
guy is all geared up, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, why would they? He's 6'3" and 200 and something pounds.
you
They're
still
from
got to get
Makaga, so
geared
they don't
up.
care. Nah,
Yeah, yeah.
got no gear on the streets, bro.
Well, he's the opponent, so he's the one
Well,
that's doing the
he picked
attack
it.
over and over again.
He chose to attack, and that's, whatever.
That is true.
The
That is true.
that is but
Probably
yeah,
his
so
fault.
yeah, there's a lot of nuance as with everything. There's a lot of, and but there's definitely different ways to do it, and they can demonstrate it. My short take is they could demonstrate the technique on somebody appropriately sized, show that they know the technique, which I think is thrust is like how to get to the technique without being let out, and then at the end of class go like, all right, you feel on taking on Reacher over here?
Right.
And okay. And then let him, and just feel what it feels like to take that thing and then see if they can still function. But I would counter that. I said it before or earlier, and I'll say it again. It would be interesting to see what Reacher attacking somebody who's, a foot and a half shorter than they are and lighter. Depending on what, if it's attack, like what would be the physical response of them? Like, I mean, because you're hitting something, you're tackling it, is it small? Is it gonna be a slip out of your arms because she's so much smaller than him? Is she gonna be able to roll out? There's not just the person being attacked. There's also the attacker, right? So there's gonna be a physical response on their side of like how their body position is gonna be, how their weight's gonna be, yada yada yada. They may not be able to counter because they have steamrolled this person and gone past them. Maybe their weight and speed has carried them past them.
And I mean, you're right. There's all kinds of factors because, for example, what if they were a football player in high school? They're not just gonna tackle you. They're going to know exactly how to tackle you, and they're going to contain you, and it is
And
going to hurt,
what if she was like
right?
a rugby player or something in school
Right.
who has been tackled and knows how to, maybe that's a thing. That's also some of a thing
And again,
as the
like
instructor is to know your students and go like, hey, do you think you could handle this? Oh yeah, okay, cool.
And are we just setting up the weirdest scenario where I'm just standing there as someone runs at me? Right? And I'm like, oh, I hope he doesn't tackle me. Like, no.
I hope I'm
Or,
not
I mean,
randomly
it could
tackled here in
be,
the
and
IKEA.
again, we're imagining all this stuff. It could be
Right.
just two people standing static
Yeah, and then they rush.
and one goes for like a double leg takedown, right? Like that would be a tackle. So maybe that's all it is, and like it's not that big a deal. But
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. So the size differences create a whole different extra layer of variables of how things are going on.
if I were the 6-foot-3 guy, I would imagine a kick in the chest, right? That would do it. Just a nice front kick right in the chest would do a lot of damage.
And then,
So
well, I'm not going to tackle them. I'm
I
just
don't
going
know.
to.
I don't know. I think that if, and I've seen the jiu-jitsu guys and things like that where the little guy fights the bodybuilder kind of guy. I think Carlson, whatever the guy that he was like the biggest guy in the universe, right? He was huge. He was a big famous bodybuilder. He was an actor on Magnus Carlsen is the guy's name. He took on some jiu-jitsu guy that just climbed all over him like a spider monkey. And eventually the guy got him to tap out. But to say that it wasn't really, really difficult for a jiu-jitsu black belt to tap this guy out, is not a stretch, right? It was not easy. And so the size makes a difference. And I think we as instructors have to understand that and kind of accommodate that and realize that, yeah, it's going to make a difference.
So I mean, in answer to the guy's question, it's like, yeah, I mean, there lots of different ways to get around it. It's like it's just for you as an instructor to go like, where's the line, of what's important for the curriculum, and the technique, and what's important for,
And I think, I don't
practicality,
know,
safety.
I keep kind of going back to your baseball bat analogy, and I think that's probably a great one where it's just sort of like, or, defense against kind of any weapons. How far along the reality road do you get? And that doesn't matter with different human beings. And in this case, there's one human being that is maybe of appropriate size and one human being that is not of appropriate size given the conditions of what you're trying to teach. And that does get a little touchy. That is kind of a sensitive area for a lot of people, to be like, what, you don't think I can do this, or you don't think I'm good enough, or blah, blah, blah. But again, you're teaching people reality here, and part of their reality is you're a foot shorter than this person, and it's not going to work out for you. Like, that's part of your reality is maybe you need to tune these techniques. Maybe you need to focus on different techniques because you are a smaller person, and these set of techniques are going to work better for you than this set of techniques. And that's the reality. So, I don't know.
And speaking of reality, I think we've brought this guy in. Yeah, I think it's great. Like we would again love to hear you guys and your comments on YouTube or via email at karatecafe@gmail.com or on the Facebooks wherever fine internets are sold. We'd love to hear from you.
Is the Facebook link in the description below?
It will be.
Ah, nice. The Facebook link's in the description below, people.
There you go. So
Oh, and
sorry.
do the what are people supposed to do? They like the thing and they subscribe to the stuff.
They smash and grab
They smash the
and
happy
slide
button.
into the subscriptions. I don't
There you go.
I
Perfect.
don't know what the kids are saying
Well
these
said,
days.
Paul. Well said.
The we a couple people have asked, many people, big strong people, tears in their eyes have asked me about when we're going to do lies. That was the other thing with lives again. Maybe in the future we didn't get as much traction on it, but I think I can do them on YouTube now. So maybe we'll realign the Massive Karate Cafe studio and maybe do some Facebook or some YouTube lives.
Yeah, I was just looking. I think Oh, dude, we need 50 subscribers to do live.
So there you go.
We're at 48.
48. So we
So
need
we just need two
three.
people
No, three, three,
watching
three.
this. Three. We need three people watching this
There
that
we
aren't
go.
currently
Three.
subscribed to subscribe. That's all we
That's
need.
right.
That's
Or
all
if
we
you're
need.
listening to this on the old media, you can
Hop
go to
over.
the new media, the new freshness, the new
That's
hotness
right.
that we just discovered called YouTube,
That's
and
right.
subscribe. I
Go
am
and
trying.
tackle the YouTube
Yeah,
and throw it to the
exactly.
ground.
I am trying to by me, I mean the media team here at the Massive Product Cafe Studio is trying to go back and like do the old episodes as sort of videos to push them up to YouTube. That way more of the older
Older.
audio content will be available on YouTube.
The archives.
The archives as the people mispronounce. But anyway, Dan, that was a great
Yeah, it was fun. It
topic.
was it was, you know, and
Sorry
again,
to tick some people off, but
I hope I didn't like poo-poo that guy at all, really. I didn't really
I
mean
think it's
to. Like,
mutual.
it's
No, we're
just
trying to help you out, but you said thoughts, bro. You said thoughts.
that's right.
And
That's
we
right.
think
That's
we have
right.
thoughts and feels.
I got too many thoughts sometimes, so.
Yeah. So anyway, but
Okay.
great episode. Dan, thanks for kicking those things off and bringing that
Sure.
topic to the front. Good talking to you as always.
Always. Thanks, Paul.
And we
And
will talk to you all again very soon.